I don't know how many of you know the word zephyr. Some will and some won't. A zephyr is a very light breeze, just a little zephyr of wind. And Barbara had a very beautiful introduction to her prayer, O Lord of the tempest and zephyr. I was thinking a lot about wind this week, and it's going to find its way into the sermon. I considered building the whole thing around it, but indeed, as we've heard about the realities of the world in which we live, it is the Lord of the tempest and of the zephyr. Shall we pray? Lord God, now in this time, as we take pause from whatever it is that is driving our lives, might we listen carefully for your word and for the eyes to see our paths forward, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that are visiting here this morning, this is, in a sense, a little bit of an in-house sermon, in that I'm reflecting on the fact that there is no question that we have had our share of stormy weather lately here in this congregation. It's been a harder time than usual, and this is particularly in terms of health. It seems like every Sunday I get up and I'm using the word malignancy or tumor or cancer or some other kind of setback. It's been a challenge. There's been other surgeries, there's been painful times for people and so forth. And when I say it's been unusual, I had to think back to the time, this was now a number of years ago, where I directed a clergy-built Habitat house. And my fellow clergy asked me, how is it that you can get off 2 days a week? In essence, don't you have anything else to do? And the answer was no. That was an amazing season. Virtually no hospitalizations, no funerals, no challenges, no problems. And that's the nature of life, isn't it? Tempests and zephyrs. And we happen to be in somewhat of a hard time now. Well, several weeks ago, I was asked by a congregational member a question that perhaps you have, and I think I want to address as a pastor on behalf of all of us. The question I was asked was, so what do you as a pastor make of all of this? What is this saying to us, and how is this for us? How do we make sense of such a season of difficulty? So there is a sense in which I guess what I intended to do and am intending to do now is to bring a pastoral word to all of us that is a kind of cumulative word for the many individual instances that we have had of challenges. And I did find myself reflecting this week, as I said, on the weather because it seemed to offer a parable. And when I say the weather, I'm talking about the weather here in McLean County this week. And so a week ago Sunday was absolutely delightful. It was gorgeous and the winds were calm. And the fish were biting. We just caught a bunch of them. And then Monday came, same thing. The fish were still biting. But by Wednesday evening, and I think we'll remember this, the wind was howling, and I'll tell you, we heard some creaks in our house we had never heard before, to the point that Sue and I looked at each other and wondered just a little bit, where exactly is this going to end? Wednesday and Thursday were horrible. They couldn't have been more of a contrast. You talk about zephyr and tempest. Well, there it was, come to life. And so in parable form, I suppose one could say the Mennonite Church of Normal is like the weather last week. We encounter seasons of everything's fine to stormy times. Now, that doesn't answer anything. That's just, I guess, a kind of introduction, but that's what at least framed my thinking. So all week I wrestled with that. What does that all mean? How does one have fair weather faith and foul weather faith? How does one both delight in the times of blessing, but also hold fast when the winds of difficulty threaten to uproot one? And I offer you these reflections. First of all, the text that I've quoted often, that might have been, that could have been our morning text. It's one of my favorites from Romans. And that is Paul saying that God works in all things for the good of those that love him. God works in all things for good. I thought of this in some new ways as this entered my mind, because it occurred to me that in addition to saying that we are in a hard season, we could use different language. We are also going through a season of extraordinary caring and compassion as a congregation. Now, I might be underestimating us. Maybe this sounds critical, but I just think this is human nature. When I make a guess that if we could monitor prayer, for instance, if there was some sort of graph of how much are we praying for each other, and there was a graph that we could see visually, I'm guessing if we could monitor prayer, when all is well, we pray less for each other by name. Not that we're non-caring, but the incentive is less to hold each other closely. And whether or not that's true, I do know that certainly the opposite has been the case. It has been an amazing season. Stormy, yes, but also a season of caring. And so directly out of the challenges of having some of the men in the congregation being in particularly hard times, a women's support group has emerged, which is a beautiful example of support and friendship and care. It didn't exist before, and it's come to life. Several of the area clusters have been energized by opportunities to be a blessing because hardships were occurring in their midst. And we've had some tender, tender sharing here on Sunday morning, here in these services. And people have said the following: I want you to know how much your prayers have meant. I never realized what it meant to receive cards. Thank you for your visits. Thank you for your expressions of support. I could go on and on, but the summary version is, if we were to graph ourselves as a loving community, I think that the last 6 months or so have shown us in a season of being at our best. And I just want to say that out loud. On the one hand, we could use the language of, oh, it's been such a hard time. And on the other hand, it has been a season of extraordinary caring and compassion. And for this reason, my mind went to the text. It's God's truth come to life. God works in all things for the good of those that love him. And so much good has come out of this. So much love has come to life. That's one thing I wanted to say to us as a congregation. Somehow, in a world which has pain, times of suffering and hardship are fertile soil for God's love to be most real and alive. It is wonderful in a way when everything is going fine with everyone. Praise God. We should enjoy these times, but there is a different kind of wonderment when the howling winds hit, to note that it is exactly in those seasons that another kind of wonderment comes to be seen. So that's one of the things I wanted to say. There's another consideration here which I offer only with great caution. I want to be very careful how I say this. Again, if we survey biblical texts, I think we're all aware that a frequent biblical analogy is to refining fire, the outcome of which is purity, something which is better. You'll find this in the Old Testament, you find it in the New Testament. And the reason I say I want to be very cautious is I do not want to be cruel, because to ever say to someone in a time of distress, oh, this will make you a better person, or I think someday you'll be glad for this experience, I think that's just to be relationally and spiritually tone deaf. That's not the kind of thing we say, oh, don't worry, this will all work out for the best. You know, when you're right in the soup, when you're right in the middle of it, that's the last thing that you need somebody to hear. And if you want an example of how not to do it, where do we go? The three friends to Job. Oh, let us explain this and understand it and so forth. And Job said, get away from me. get away from me. It's time to get real. And so I am not bringing this second consideration to you in that spirit. But I want to mention this perspective of refining fire, not so much as an analysis of the meaning of pain and suffering. It's just something that is after the fact testimony, and I think it's worth bringing this testimony to mind. Because hardships are often remembered after the fact as something I'd never wish on anyone, I'd never want to go through that again, but in a way, there was a kind of blessing in disguise. I think what happens is we live our lives at times coated with layers of appearance and successes and comfort. Perhaps we become less attentive to God. We think that our good planning and our good character and our good reputation will carry us through. But you know, this image of refining fire, it's probably also the case that at times it behooves us to be laid bare. I've got as many layers as any of you do. Appearances. I have the title of pastor. People seem to think that for some reason that puts me at a different plane. I hear that the most clearly when somebody uses some little bit off-color language and then says, "Oh, I'm sorry, pastor," like in the presence of this aura, I shouldn't say that word. But at times, when we take off all of the things that have enfolded us and that we are layered with, those are the times of honesty and vulnerability and trust and repentance. And I am very reluctant to match this up with any specific difficulty that anyone is experiencing. I'm just noting that a perspective worth remembering as Christians is that of the refining fire, and that very different circumstances can be that which helps us extract refined nuggets, which in the end are life-giving. In the end, they're life-giving. Let me give you a flavor for this. This isn't an exact analogy. It doesn't exactly tie on to the issue of suffering, but it illustrates the way that I think that when hard times bring us tunnel vision and we feel as if we're oppressed and we can't think in a different way, our faith gives us additional ways that perhaps can lead us to find life. And so this is the Franciscan blessing which is found on Pastor Jane's door. Read that first line. May God bless you with discomfort. May God bless you with discomfort. Discomfort at easy answers, at half-truths and superficial relationships, so that you may live deep within your heart. It's the blessing of discomfort. May God bless you with anger at injustice and oppression and exploitation of people, so that you may work for justice, freedom, and peace. That is this deep sense of unsettlement, which is not exactly what God wants, but out of which can transform one's soul when we're laid bare, and it can lead to something good. May God bless you with tears to shed for those who suffer pain, rejection, hunger, and war, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and to turn their pain to joy. And may God bless you. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can make a difference in the world so that you can do what others claim cannot be done, to bring justice and kindness to all our children and the poor. Amen. Life is life. I don't know how else to say it. It's simply set up that way. It's the great mystery of a world which is imperfect, but which is God is redeeming. And life is set up such that one can't hope to live always within a fair weather faith. And so when the storms come, it is the case that in the end they can be cleansing and refining. That's where we could go to the Apostle Paul if we wanted numerous texts where his framework of thought and reference, he regularly found his core heart for God and for Jesus exactly in the midst of and sometimes because of his deprivations. That's one of those themes that finds its way through the New Testament. Finally, I would hope that when this season of hard times for us passes, and it will, I would hope that we remember. And that's the end of the sentence. I would hope that we remember. And at this point, I want to thank my wife, Sue, who on Thursday morning, after reading her Rejoice devotional, said, well, here's an interesting quote, and I have learned, and I'm not joking at this, this isn't a joke about our marriage, I've learned when Sue says things like that, it pays to pay attention, and here was the quote that she then gave me. Here's an interesting quote. God reveals himself in rearview mirrors. The capacity to endure is often lodged in the habit of remembering. The capacity to endure is lodged in the habit of remembering. It is our own trials and hard times in the past when we look in the rearview mirror and note that nothing separated us from the love of God. And God is always present that gives us hope from the future. That particular Rejoice article was written by Rebecca Mosley, and she was quoting Ann Voskap. And then Rebecca Mosley, the writer herself, wrote this sentence. Through the ages, God's people have always steadied their hearts by recounting God's journey with them. And that's when Psalm 105, verses 4 to 5 is cited. And the interesting thing about this psalm is it happened at the worst time of Israel's life. Remember all those promises they had? I'm going to make you a nation, you'll be great, you'll be a light unto the nations, you'll be a blessing to all the nations that promised to Abraham. And it got worked out and worked out and worked out until finally, out of disobedience, they were punished. And they were virtually wiped out, and they were carried off into exile. And there they sat. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What happened to the promises? The weather couldn't be worse. It was the worst season of their life, and it is out of that exile that it is likely that this psalm was written that says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember. Remember the wonderful works he has done. And really what I'm doing is my part in that admonition by bringing this sermon to you today. I'm calling us to remember as a part of our worship because I wanted to testify, to put into words how in the midst of hard times, a support group springs up and cards are offered and prayers and hugs and God is in our midst. Remember this, how God has been present and powerful among us. Rebecca Mosley concludes that devotional with a beautiful paragraph. I'm going to read it two ways. First in the singular, then I'll read it in the plural. She writes, how can I know God's goodness today when it's tough to name what's happening to me? And I just love this image. The stepping stones of remembrance become solid ground over the rushing river. You're not into poetry, let me put it in plain language. Oh, I think back on my life and I've had hard times in the past and I made it. The stepping stones of remembrance become the solid ground over the rushing river. And as I remember God's goodness to me yesterday, I find myself face to face with God's goodness today. I said I'd repeat this, now I'm going to put this in the plural, which means us. And I'll add two sentences in conclusion. The plural. How can we know God's goodness today when it's tough to name what's happening to us? The stepping stones of remembrance become solid ground over the rushing river, and as we remember God's goodness to us yesterday, we find ourselves face to face with God's goodness today. And that, then, is our hope for all times, past, present, and future. Our hope for all times and for all time. May it be so. Amen.